Welcome back to another episode of NBA at the Bar with your host, T.A. and G-Money, bringing you all the highlights, talking mess, and all the plays you shouldn't have missed.
What's up, everybody? This is NBA at the Bar. We're your host. I'm T.A.
And this is Uncle Chuck. It's for you.
And we are right back at you talking this NBA action because, as you know, it is fantastic. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you know, we've been gone on hiatus. We've been not here and available for you for the last 2 weeks. And unfortunately, it was a tremendous catastrophe that hit the family. Now, you know, we had a little fire. Everybody's all right. I want to give a quick shout out to everybody that called, reached out, DM'd, sat over here and asked, what's going on? Mm-hmm. How am I doing? How's the family doing? We all right?
We all right.
I want to let everybody know everything is straight. It's just nothing but property, but the family is good. So unfortunately, we are in a make-do set for now until we come back even better than before.
Yes, sir.
But glad to be back with you because, man, that's my man. We ready to sit over and talk about that NBA.
Let's do it.
But before we do that, I need y'all to do me a very quick favor. I need you to like, subscribe, and download. And as you know, that's very, very, very important for us. Like, subscribe, and download. You can catch us on YouTube. And some IG, too. Check us out on IG because it'd be cracking. But we drinking on that Claude Chandelier.
Yes, sir.
We both on that yak.
Yes, sir.
As you see, I might have had a little bit of yak early, almost falling off the stool, but we good. And we ready to talk that NBA because, as we know, that NBA is coming to the end of the season. We only got about 10 games left, ladies and gentlemen. So, with that being said, this is all about prognosticating about the future. Where's the NBA going to be at once we get to this playoffs? And so the first question I got for you, Chuck, is, you know, these Celtics have been on a tear the entire season. Literally 10 games up from the number two.
Right.
Number two spot.
Huge
gap. On the East.
Huge gap.
Huge. So they kind of feel like they are the perceived for sure team coming out of the East. Mm-hmm. What do you think? You think they got it locked up?
In my eyes, they do. It doesn't seem like nobody's, you know, in the running.
Nobody's ready to step up to the plate?
Nah. I think they've proved themselves to be the creme de la creme. Is that the word they use? The creme de la creme, the cream of the crop.
Cream of the crop, yeah.
They proved it all year long. You know, they got a good young core. No injuries. That's always
that's
crucial.
Huge,
no injuries. Everybody's made it throughout the season. And I think they got a lot to look forward to as far as that postseason is concerned.
So you don't think this is going to be like they normally do, which is crumble when it's go time, when it's crunch time, when it's championship time?
Nah, they not folding like an envelope. It ain't happening. They coming out. They real strong.
You know, I think I wouldn't feel this strongly about them if it wasn't for the additions they made in this previous offseason.
Right.
I think Porzingis gave them a certain dynamic that they didn't have before. I think they got a little bit younger as well, casting off some of their older players like Morris and, you know, the Morris twin and all that. I think they got a little bit younger. I think they got a little bit bigger to be able to compete with the big boys. And I just think, you know, their superstars are just coming into their own.
Right. No, I agree. I think what they did, they sacrificed a little moxie for playoff basketball. Mm-hmm. So you bring in, you know, Drew Holiday. We already know what he brings to the table. He's a champion. He's won it already. Mm-hmm. You bring in Porzingis. You know what he brings to the table as well. So it provides that balance that you need as far as playoff basketball. And I think we touched on this last time in the podcast.
We did.
Balance and playoff basketball is a totally different animal. And I think a lot of people, you know, you look at the flash and, you know, the running gun and you doing all that. But then when it comes to playoff basketball, you got to be able to run and gun, but you got to be able to grind it out as well.
Right.
And I think as far as the Celtics are concerned, they have the perfect blend. You got your young, you know, you got Tatum, you got Brown. But then when you mix in these other players like a Drew Holiday and a Porzingis, Al Horford, you know, you got these, you know, you got veteran leadership out there. It's a problem.
It's a problem. My only concern is that Porzingis, it's going to be his first time on the big stage.
Right.
That you know, his Tucker might get a little tight. He might get a little bit tight. He might get a little bit shell shocked.
Right.
But if he doesn't, his bombs away. I think it'll be a relatively easy path
True.
to the championship, and then just talking about who you're going to be playing from the West, because you know that's going to be an unbelievable challenge for them to overcome, especially in the 7-game series. Right. But like you said, I think the squad looks good. But the reality is the real race, what's fun on the East, because, you know, the Celtics are so far ahead. Right. So what's really the exciting matchup, I believe, is the Cavs and the Knicks matchup. True. Who is going to sit over and get that third spot? I think that's very important, because that fourth spot knows inevitably they got to go through the Celtics.
Right.
Earlier than, say, the, you know, in that conference finals. So, you know, for the Cavs and the Knicks, they're only separated by half a game. Mm-hmm. I think the battle's going to go all the way to the very last game of the season.
Absolutely.
Who do you got between those two?
Man, it's tough, because the thing that we talked about is, you know, as far as the Celtics, they stayed injury free for the most part. The Knicks and the Cavs can't say the same thing. You know, you lose Randle, you know, and then the Cavs, I think they lost a big man for a little while as well. Mm-hmm. So when you have those type of injuries, it impacts your team. It impacts the rhythm. It impacts, you know, how you play. You got to change up the strategy. And then it puts pressure on other players, puts pressure on young players. You know, so that is tough. When you put that pressure on it, it changes everything. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, you know, there's strength in numbers as far as being able to spread that pressure out amongst the group, as opposed to having your young player have to carry the weight of all that. And that's not ideal. So if we're looking at who's better positioned as far as having veterans to deal with that type of pressure, I think the Knicks are a little better, because you got Brunson. Brunson can handle it. Brunson's been handling that type of pressure for a long time at this point now. And I think his game, as far as transitioning from being on the Mavericks and coming over to the Knicks, I think, especially coming into that spotlight, that New York, you know, playing at Madison Square Garden has never been a joke. It's always brought that pressure. Mm-hmm. It's the mecca of quote-unquote basketball is what they say. So it brings a lot of pressure, and he's handled it well.
The thing is I think because there have been so many changes with the team, I think that could be the one thing that could maybe be preventative for them actually, you know, getting that third spot, because the Cavs have been relatively consistent the entire year in terms of their roster, where the Knicks have kind of turned over, like you said, with injury. And so when you have to overcompensate, you know, because of the injury of Randle, he was hoping to come back by the end of the year, but I don't think that's going to be possible. And then you've added some new players due to trade.
Right.
That, you know, that initial excitement is what kind of catapulted them up to this level, because they weren't there before then. They were hovering around the sixth seed.
Right.
But I think that, you know, when you talk about a 7-game series and you got it's grinded out basketball, they might be able to handle the pressure, but will the continuity, especially a team that doesn't have all of their weapons? I think New York is actually going to be the team to really look out for next year. Mm-hmm. I think what they're doing is valiant. I think what they're doing is impressive. Mm-hmm. But I think when push comes to shove, I think the Cavs have kind of been built to not really have really any stars, but just be consistent across the board.
Right.
And they have the continuity of being together for the whole entire 82 games, where the Knicks haven't. But I think that the great story would be, not the Cavs, obviously, but would be the Knicks sitting over and catapulting themselves. And, you know, 20 years, we were kids the last time we really saw them really competing in the postseason. You're talking about with Ewing.
Yeah, that's a long time.
And maybe they had a couple of years after that, but really that was their last heyday.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't think this year's going to be like that heyday time. But I think they have some components to still make it interesting in the first couple of rounds. So, you know, super excited about them. What I'm not excited about is this playing for the East. I was looking that up and doing a little bit of research for the show, and it just looks ugly. You know, when you have the Bulls, the Hawks, you have Miami Heat, which I still love the Heat, even though they lost today. And then who else we got in that other?
You said the Hawks too?
Yeah, the Atlanta Hawks, the Bulls, the Heat. And what's the one last other team that's in there? Oh, and the 76ers.
Terrible.
Without Embiid.
Terrible.
You know, it just is ugly. It's terrible. Uninspiring. There's no way to sit over here and expect anybody from that play-in to do anything. It's like
Nah.
That's their playoffs is just to play in, because as soon as they get into whoever the winner comes out of there,
you know it's about to happen.
It's going to sit over and get ran 4-0. Through.
4-0.
But yeah, it's going to be, yeah, straight sweep. Mm-hmm. Get the broom out. Mm-hmm. But of those four, I mean, the only team I can even possibly conceive of coming out of that is just Miami.
I can't even see them coming out, only because of the injuries. Ain't nobody playing. They're done for. And it kind of takes me back to, and you know, how the East used to be a running joke like that. That because that last
it looks just eight, like that this
before
year.
They started this play-in thing. It used to be, you know, that 8-7, you know, 6. Mm-hmm. They were always used to be below 500. They weren't even 500 teams, mm-hmm. and they used to make it, you know, mm-hmm. to the playoffs in the East. So I think it's slim pickings as far as the excitement level. I wouldn't watch. I'm not even watching. I'm be honest with you. You know, as a basketball fan, I'm not watching.
It's hard to watch.
It's terrible.
But so you don't feel confident in the Heat because of the injuries. But then you have the Bulls. You have, I mean, maybe the 76ers with Maxey.
But you figure all those teams that you mentioned all are dealing with injuries, like major injuries mm-hmm. to the stars. Mm-hmm. Embiid's gone. Mm-hmm. You know, Lonzo Ball, they mm-hmm. never played this whole year.
The whole year.
You know, the Heat are devastated right now. And when you try to come to playoff basketball and you don't have no bullets to put in your gun,
right.
Oh, it's a problem.
So I would have to believe that, you know, taking all that into
consideration.
Yeah, into consideration, it gotta be the 76ers that, you know, from a team and organizational standpoint, have the necessary ability to move on. Because again, if Embiid was here, we wouldn't be talking about them in the play-in. Right. We would be talking about them in the second or third slot.
Absolutely.
And so, but they still have an overall team. You can't get to the second or third slot in a conference and your team, you don't have a quality team around you. Mm-hmm. Like Embiid is great, but he ain't that great. You right. know, it ain't like he's Kareem or Will Chamberlain as Hayden or Shaq.
Right.
So, but he's a bad mamma jamma. But I think overall that team is going to probably be the team to come out of the play-in. But again, it's not attractive.
I don't know. I feel like this. Roll them dice and whoever comes out probably comes out. I don't have faith in nobody.
Right.
Nobody.
But the thing is somebody has to come out and play. And that's what I'm saying. I think it gotta be the Sixers. But you know, it's funny, moving over to the West, Denver has been playing well, but hasn't been playing great almost the entire season. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they've been hovering in the 1-2-3 spot. For most of the season, they weren't in that one spot.
Right.
They were, but now they're surging. Mm-hmm. And one that's indicative and representative of what a championship team does
right.
is that they peak at the right time.
Absolutely.
And we definitely have seen that in the Nuggets. And I've been, you know, you look at any of the old shows, I've been somewhat of a hater of the Nuggets because I just wasn't that much of a believer. I'm becoming a believer because, man, they're looking good at this stage of the season. But the reality is, like we saw the Celtics running away, mm-hmm. and really we're looking at the 3-4 and who's going to get into that third spot. Well, on the West, we're looking at who's going to get into that 2 spot. Is it going to be OKC or is it going to be the Timberwolves?
For me, I think the biggest thing, like we talk about, is injuries. Injuries. Mm-hmm. So you figure, you know, Towns goes down.
But he's coming back.
He's coming back. He's coming back. But the thing, he's not there now.
Right. And that's why you've seen a little dip.
Yeah, you've seen a little dip. You know, they were number one at one point.
Yeah, for most of the year.
For most of the year. And then all of a sudden, now Houston, we have a problem. It's looking real, real shaky. Now, you know, Ant-Man is going to get you a couple of W's just because he's that good. But at the end of the day, it's only going to do so much.
Right.
It's only going to do so much. This is the NBA. Mm-hmm. One star is only going to get you so far.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're relying on, you know, Conley, or you're relying on Gobert.
You don't ever want to rely on Gobert.
No,
unless they give somebody COVID, you don't want to rely on that cap for anybody else.
That's not it. That's not it. That's not what you want to lean on come, you know, the crunch time. Because exactly what's happening now, it's going to happen. Denver is slowly but surely separating themselves from everybody else. I feel like OKC is a young team. It's a young team, very young, very young. But I'd rather be in their position.
Very talented.
They're awesomely talented team. I'd rather be in their position than anything else because they're only going to grow and get more mature, get this experience, this playoff experience. They haven't really been there like that before. So at the end of the day, I feel like, you know, I mean, this is a great situation for them. You're going to learn.
You're going to learn. But I also think that that also allows it to be susceptible to a lower seeded team coming in and spanking them on the behind and getting into the later stages of the playoffs because they are young. They're going to come in. They're going to come in full of fire. But that seven-game series is a grind.
It's tough.
That seven-game series, you know, you got to sit over here and just really dig deep to win. And
you got to grind it up.
But you got to know what it's like to go into those depths.
In the first place.
When you get into the game six and your back is against the wall, or get into game six and I'm supposed to win this game and you lose it, and now you're in the game seven,
and
that booty hole gets tight. That's what I'm... You know, you have to live through that to understand it's going to be all right,
right.
To kind of loosen up that tip.
Yep.
So I think OKC, obviously, from a talent perspective, should be able to do it. But I think there needs to be a maturation
year,
a maturation process.
Every
for
team
them to
goes
go through it.
Every right. team goes through it. And I think some people feel like we're not susceptible to that. Like, that doesn't apply to us.
Wow.
Nah, that shit applies to everybody. Mm-hmm. It applied to all the all-time greats. It applied to Jordan. It applied to everybody. It applied to Magic. Mm-hmm. It applies to everybody. Mm-hmm. You got to learn to grow and mature. It applied to Kobe, Shaq. Mm-hmm. They didn't win it when they got together. Mm-hmm. They got their ass whipped. Mm-hmm. Be honest with you, they got swept by San Antonio before they won the
shit. They sure did.
So at the end of the day, there is a maturation process to this. It just is. You know, you have to learn what it's like to be in that position. So I don't feel like OKC has it right now.
But what's crazy is it's not as if the Timberwolves got that either. So that's what makes it so unique.
Right.
You understand? Like, Cat ain't never really been there.
No.
And he's going to be coming back off of injury.
No.
Gobert is maybe had an opportunity to feel that playoff excitement and that energy, but has never gone deep.
But it's not that pressure, because nobody's ever leaned on Gobert.
Nobody.
We don't lean on you. We don't depend on you.
And we won't now.
And never.
But Ant-Man, you know, some things that I hear people talk about is he kind of shrinks in big moments. I haven't seen it this year. I think this might be his coming out party.
I don't agree.
But it's kind of just like SGA.
Mm-hmm.
You got two great individuals right there, and you got great teams surrounding them.
Mm-hmm.
But only one can come out to actually inevitably probably meet the Nuggets.
Right.
And which one is going to be able to not just elevate their game, but really be a leader of their team to elevate the entire team? I don't know. I almost want to say SGA might have. I just see leadership a little bit more in him, and I see greatness a little bit more in Ant-Man. Even though SGA's statistics overall are actually better than the overall statistics of that
man.
But something special, some makes me feel warm and fuzzy inside thinking about the Ant-Man, you know. But SGA too. But Ant-Man, right. though, I don't know if it's just dunking on cats.
He just seems a little different.
Right. He just looks, he just feels and seems a little bit different, but going to be very, very, very interesting.
We shall see.
Now, you know, I got a team that I think is like that dark horse.
And who was that?
The Pelicans.
What?
Now, again, when you talk about injury, I don't know. I haven't heard like a full diagnosis of my man who hurt his knee the other day.
We're not talking about CJ.
No.
We're not talking about Brandon Ingram.
Right? Yes.
We talking about Brandon Ingram? Man down?
Oh, screaming, wallowing. Oh, my God. Yeah, man. So I haven't heard I haven't heard that he's out for the season. So I assume he's going to be back. Because I've been looking like, you know, what's going on, and I haven't heard any news.
They
so
usually we
don't have any news. No, it'd be
they can't
done.
Afford that one.
But this team, after the in-season tournament, had a chip on their shoulder, partly because of how the media was going after. You know, going after the team as a whole, but going after my man Biggie as well.
I mean,
and they've been playing real good. They play real loose. They play like they got something to prove. And when individuals have something to prove, have a chip on their shoulder, and they're playing carefree, it's not like they're getting tight. It's like, ain't nobody believing us, so fuck it, let's just play.
Right.
And that's what I saw after the All-Star break. And they've been playing exceptionally well. So I think they could be my dark horse, assuming that Ingram comes back and he's not debilitated by that knee.
He's their best player.
He's their best player.
Mm-hmm. He's definitely their best player. But I don't know. We shall see.
We shall see. So what team in the West, you know, has caught your fancy that you want to sit over here and champion for or discuss?
Dude, looky here, man. I'm, you know, out there in the world, I am really concerned about these Warriors. I'm definitely concerned. I think,
as you should be.
Hey, it's looking like the death of a dynasty right now. You know, it's a struggle.
And that happens always.
It's only inevitable. Mm-hmm. Every dynasty comes to an end. You mm-hmm. have your run. You know, they've had a very, very good run. At the end of the day, it's nothing to, you know, hang your hat on. It's nothing to be sad about, but it happens. Mm-hmm. It happened to Jordan. It happened to Magic. It happens to everybody. You get old. Team get old. That money and how you can pay people, mm-hmm. it always starts to figure in the equation. Mm-hmm. Do I pay this guy? Do I pay this guy? Do I trade this guy? And they've done all of that. Do I pay Clay?
I don't know. You can't play. You can't pay Clay.
Not based off of what he's doing right now. You can't pay.
He's not the same player. His body is taking too big of a hit. Absolutely. He's not the same player.
Absolutely.
Draymond's getting older. Absolutely. He's getting more ornery. He's like the old grandpa, the old grandma that sits over here and gets angry and mad and be cursing and motherfucking everybody. You know what I'm saying? Because he gets so upset and he's so, you know, angry at life and mm-hmm. getting old and knowing mm-hmm. it's almost his time. You know, he's like that old person. You know, the question that I got is will Steph be able to finish his career? Because even the greatest, I mean, you saw Kobe finish his career with the Lakers, but it's so very rare. Jordan didn't even get a chance to finish his career with the Bulls.
Right.
Will Steph be able to finish his career, or will he try to? Because what happens is the people that don't usually try to hold on a little bit too long.
Right.
Will Steph hold on? Because he still seems young. He still feels young. He can still feel old. He feels like a mature young cat. Right. But he doesn't. He doesn't look old.
Right.
He doesn't play old. So. Like his twin.
Like Clay.
Like Clay.
His light-skinned brother.
Right. Mm-hmm. So the thought process is, will Steph be able to finish his career with the Warriors?
I think that's going to come down to what personally he wants to do. I think, you know, Kobe said, hey, I'm good. I'm a Laker for life, and that's what I'm going to do. I think a lot of people talk that shit.
Right.
And then somewhere the rubber meets the road. Either I want to get paid, or I want to win another championship. I want to be competitive. That's not the situation that I think, you know, Curry's
He's won enough titles. He's made enough money. I would hope that he could see the writing on the wall long term. I'm saying retire after this year, but 2-3, yeah, they maybe keep him for another 2 years, maybe even three.
Maybe.
And then he walks away, walks away and says, I did something that I made an impact on this game to where cats will be talking about me when I'm old. When I got a full head of gray hair.
He was that dude.
They're still going to talk about me.
They're
still going to talk about how I changed this game of basketball. And I hope that he's willing to do that, because there was nothing more sad mm-hmm. than to watch Jordan with the Wizards.
Ooh. Well, I can say this. I think Steph will probably stay if they break him off some of them Kobe contracts. Well, you know, Kobe was getting paid at the end.
And he was getting $50 million.
Yeah, he was getting big money, mm-hmm. and he wasn't. I'm not going to say he wasn't worth it, because he, in a sense, demanded that
money. He wasn't worth it because he couldn't elevate the team, right. But he was worth it individually.
Individually, mm-hmm. as far as what he brought to your team value wise, mm-hmm. you know, we're talking about off the court, the mm-hmm. on court.
Right.
He brought a lot of value to the team. You mm-hmm. move Kobe, I feel like the value of the Lakers drops drastically at that point.
Without
what is the type of product that you have that you're putting out there at that point?
They would only be able to live off of their
name,
their old year,
the name in itself,
their history.
Right,
they wouldn't be able to live off of the product they were putting on the court.
Absolutely,
at that time,
absolutely. So I think if the Warriors ownership is willing to say, here, man, we're gonna overpay you, knowing at the end of the day that, you know, we're paying you for what you've brought to our franchise in general. So we're going to give you a couple of $50 million contracts just off of GP because of what you've done for us, and suck that up and eat it, just like the Lakers ate it. Mm-hmm. Like, we know, you know, giving you $50 million
but
that
was point being nice. Wasn't going to get $50 million from anybody else.
Absolutely not.
And so he won't get $50, $75 million from anybody else. So I think it's less of that's why or that's a reason for him to stay. I think the Lakers were just being nice to Kobe.
They were. Do we know they didn't have to be.
And I don't think Kobe at that stage, when he was getting those contracts, would have said, you know what? You ain't giving me $50 million. I'm going to go someplace else.
Right.
Because someplace else would be like, Kobe, you're getting broken down physically. Mm-hmm. We're going to pay you $38
million. But I think his heart was in L.A. He wasn't going to go I think a lot of people, like I said, you talk that shit, but you know where your bread is getting buttered at, and you know who did what they did for you. I think Curry's a little different, though, because I think Curry is probably a better player than Kobe was at being old.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a better player, and he has more to contribute as far as being as dangerous, because he is definitely still respected. I think, you know, when Curry comes off the screen, you still got three people running over there to him at the end of the day.
But there's a difference between going through the hole and dunking on somebody versus sitting over here coming off a pick and shooting a three. One puts a little bit more damage on the body than the other.
Absolutely.
And after Kobe popped his Achilles, he was a different man.
But when you're shooting 44%, 43% from three still at the age of, you know, 30, whatever, and some change, they respect you more.
But what we're saying is he can't elevate a team.
I think it's not necessarily about elevating the team, because the team around him is not what it used to be.
No.
Wiggins is not what he used to be. He's not bringing – and you figure you're younger. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be picking up the slack. Mm-hmm. You know, Klay can't pick up the slack. He's falling off. Draymond only could do so much, and we already knew what he was.
And Draymond was really never really that good. He was just a glue guy. That's all he was. But he was never that good.
It was crucial because he played defense, and I'm never going to take that away from him. Mm-hmm. He's one of the greatest defensive players I've ever seen in my life, period. Mm-hmm. And I will never allow somebody to talk bad about that. As far as what he brings offensively, he is a glue guy. I think that's the thing that he does. But it only goes so far. At some point, when the pieces around you aren't performing at a high level, mm-hmm. because now that glue guy, it doesn't really – it's nothing to bring together at that point like it used to be. So – I'm sorry to see the death of a dynasty. Like it's coming. You see it now. It's smack dab in your face.
Mm-hmm.
Warriors fans, I'm so sorry for you, but it's a wrap.
We all in life deal with seeing the prior generation go through this, and it's not. And I'm talking about in terms of real life,
right?
Seeing our parents,
right,
our family members getting old, our grandparents getting old and succumbing to age.
Right.
We've all seen it. Right. We all either have seen it or we're going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually watching that right now.
Right now.
With an actual team. And yes, it's difficult to see, but at the end of the day, it is a part of the life cycle of the league.
Yes, sir.
And, what they brought, we need to, you know, when you have obituary, we talk about all the great things in a person, in a person's life.
Right.
We're going to have that at some point in time for the Golden State Warriors in terms of all the great things that they brought to the NBA and how they affected it.
Revolutionized. We're going to talk about it.
But I think their day is done. And I don't, and to be perfectly honest, I don't think they're going to make the play-in this year, because I think there's a young, hungrier team. I think Ime? What's the coach name that was in Boston?
Oh, yeah. Udoka. He's coaching his ass off out there in Houston.
Well, he's always been a good coach. Mm-hmm. He was a good coach with the Celtics. Mm-hmm. You know, he just likes some little trim on the side.
It happens. You got access.
But he's been a phenomenal coach. And I think for him is he refuses to have his first year in Houston be a failure.
Right.
So, and you see that search, and then he's just – instilled that sense of urgency into that team that I think is going to eclipse them. And that's where that conversation about the Golden State Warriors will be a whole lot different as we go into our offseason and go into next year about the Golden State Warriors. If that does take place in Houston, circumvents them and pushes their way up. Because Houston was never supposed to be good in any way.
Not this year.
They've played above what the expectation was.
Coach him up.
I think old boy's going to sit over here and get them to that ninth place, or to the ninth or tenth spot, and Golden State's going to fall out. But then we have to take a look at them not making even the plan. There's one player that bears the responsibility of that.
Who's that?
Draymond. When you get suspended for doing clown, silly, overly aggressive, extra out shit, and you miss 21 games, I can promise you is they're going to lose that last spot by a half a game or one game. And I can promise you that a 21 game missing of Draymond was dramatically and drastically affected that team.
Absolutely.
Was the difference between them getting the playoffs or not. And he's going to have to hold that responsibility.
He is.
He's going to have to hold that responsibility. So it's going to be very interesting. But, you know, speaking in-season tournament, right? Or not in-season, but, you know, the tournament to get into the play-in. The play-in. Right now, we got the Lakers in the ninth seed, right? But what's crazy is even though they're in the ninth seed, they're actually playing well. And it's so crazy how they're playing well, but it's not reflected in their seeding. But Clippers, who surged, and then all of a sudden they're falling off. They're not playing well. They have some injuries. You know, my man coming off the bench, Westbrook, is sitting over here. He's been hurting all that. You know, he hurt his hand. And so the team, when Westbrook doesn't come off the bench and Westbrook isn't playing and in that locker room,
that energy,
that energy of I refuse to lose. I'm on one.
Right,
doesn't translate to the team. So the teams are playing extremely soft, and they're descending.
Right, and he's the only one that has that type of swag.
The whole team, nobody.
Because why? Kawhi's not going to get that. No,
and George.
And George is not going to necessarily get
that. He's a nice guy.
Absolutely.
So when you see that, but the Lakers are ascending, and so I'm willing to sit over here and kind of make a prediction.
Talk to me.
There are three games back from getting to the sixth seed with 10 games left.
What you think?
I think the Lakers are going to circumvent
everybody. So you think they're going to jump sixth ahead of the Mavericks?
I think they're going to. You know, on the back and off the wheel of Bron, because most people don't know this. Bron has won every single title he's ever won in a leap year.
Mm.
Did you know that?
Mm.
Every title he's ever won
that sound like was in a leap Cleo year. Shit. That sound like now shit. Now, okay.
So this is a leap year.
Okay.
And I think, you know, he gets superpowers. He already has superpowers, but he gets superpowers in his leap years. And he's going to sit over here. He took this last breather before this 10-game push. They're currently, as we're filming, they're double overtime.
Right, which is crazy.
with the Wolves. Well, with the Wolves.
With the Bucks.
With the Bucks, right. Uh-huh. And so I think he comes back. He does a 10-game push. They do something like 7 or 8 wins in that last 10 games. Sits over and flips the board. Clippers continue to sit over here and descend a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They end up getting into the play-in, win the play-in. But the Lakers get the sixth spot. I'm predicting.
I got you.
And it's going to be very interesting.
We shall see.
Now, can you see that happening?
I mean, I think we touched on my first time on the show. I said it's all about matchups. Mm-hmm. So you figure the Lakers can catch a Timberwolves team that's kind of faltering a little bit or, you know, OKC team. It's like, man, we don't really understand what it's like to be under this pressure. That's a problem.
And that's what's critical for the Lakers. Mm-hmm. For LeBron to actually fulfill that manifest destiny of winning another title in a leap year, he can't be the play-in team because they play the Nuggets. And they're going to get worked by him.
Right.
So that can't be the matchup. He has to get to the six to sit over here and play either OKC or the Timberwolves to actually fulfill that prophecy.
Right. Well, like I said before, I feel like it's all about matchups. We only need that. I can be honest with you. I didn't see Towns getting hurt. I really didn't see Denver moving up to the number one seed. But they've kind of been that slow and steady team. We're not overwhelmingly exciting. We're not trying to, come the end of the season, we're going to do what we got to do to, peak at that right, the right time, like you said. And we're going to put ourselves in position to do what we got to do. So, of course, who doesn't want to be the number one seed and be able to have the opportunity to play the shittiest team in the league at the end of the day.
Or at least in the tournament.
I mean, hey, man. So for me, from my vantage point, I feel like, you know, the Lakers will, you know, the Lakers probably get in at that 7-6 seed. I think it's coming. I think it's inevitable. I think all those teams in front of us, the booty holes, they're definitely tightening up. Mm-hmm. Though I do like the Mavericks, I do like them because, you know, you got two dogs out mm-hmm. there with Luka and, you know, and Kyrie. Mm-hmm. But those teams ahead of them, man, you got some stars that are like, you know, I like you, but I don't like you.
My problem with Dallas is how much dog do they got in them? We know Kyrie got the dog, but Luka, we all know he's exceptionally gifted.
Mm-hmm.
What we don't know is how much dog. He never really showed us dog.
What? What?
Dog.
What?
Like,
dog?
I'm going to put my life on it. I'm going to beat you.
Dog?
You seen that, Luka?
What? Numbers don't lie. Numbers
That's
don't
not
lie.
About numbers.
Numbers don't
the
lie.
The dog ain't about numbers. The dog.
Numbers don't lie. What I mean by what I'm saying about numbers don't lie is he has never been afraid to put it on the line. Period. Period. You forget what Luka did last year. Luka beat the Clippers when they had everybody. Luka didn't, he didn't care. It was only him. No Porzingis, nobody else. It was just him. He's a dog. He's giving you 35 with a triple-double. That's saying a lot. Who does that? The only person I know who gives you 30 with a triple-double is LeBron.
But this is what I mean is.
And he's, let me say this, this is my other thing about Luka. He's fat. He's not the fastest. Can't jump. He reminds me of the white version of Zach. What's your boy?
Not Zach LaVine.
No. That played on Portland and the Grizzlies.
Oh, yeah. Zach Randolph.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like, people like that, like, it's just game. It's
right.
Pure game.
And pure I game. Hate about that.
Pure game. So, when you, I feel like Zach when you add
Randolph
that.
Randolph had that gangster.
Oh, but he was, you know what he was. He was a dog. So, I feel like when you add that with a Kyrie who's a closer. So, you got two people who are, in my eyes, closers. So, all we got to do is keep the game close. And then at the end of the day, you got to come see me at the end of the game.
But what happens when the game isn't close going into the fourth quarter, but you got to have it? That's where the dog is. That's where Kobe would sit over and say, I refuse to lose to these hookers across the way.
But did you watch them last year? You realize that they almost made the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
They made the semis on the back of just Luka. You had Kyrie. Kyrie didn't even perform like I felt like he could perform.
And so what you're saying has a tremendous amount of validity because he just didn't have the help.
He just didn't have the help.
And so maybe I'm grading him or projecting upon him something that is unfair.
Give him the talent that the Clippers have, where I can pass the ball to somebody who's respectable. He's never really had that. You had.
He's still in the play-in, though, with Kyrie, one of the best.
But it's team. You don't have a big man.
No.
You can't. You don't have no defenders.
No.
So the only thing we can do is outscore you. So that puts even more pressure on you.
So is it fair to say it's going to be challenging?
Absolutely.
If the Lakers jump out and sit over and get to that sixth seed, I don't think that team can beat, in terms of the Dallas, can beat the Clippers in the play-in.
They already did.
Not in the play-in. That was last year.
No. They beat them in the playoffs. They beat them in a seven-game series.
Yeah, but this is a different Clipper team.
We're talking about a seven-game series. So the Clippers had seven games to beat them.
But this is a different team. Just like Dallas is a different team because they got Kyrie this year.
No, they had Kyrie last year.
Did he play?
Yes. No. I think he might have missed a couple of games.
Yeah.
But just imagine. So Luka beat the Clippers and didn't even really have Kyrie.
But that matchup, you talking about Luka beat, right.
My, you heard my words. Luka beat the Clippers.
They didn't have Harden. Yeah.
So you figure, you telling me this.
James Harden got to have it.
So you had a team with, you had your boy, you had both your LA Cats, and you had Westbrook.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't beat Luka by himself. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt at the end of the day.
Hey, and all this podcast broadcasting, there are certain individuals that just love Luka.
Hey, man.
I might even know about Luka. Yeah, no, you might be one of them. They just love Luka. And then there are certain individuals that hate on Luka. And I've been a hater the majority of his career.
Why is that?
I am coming around.
Because of what?
A sense of arrogance.
But does he
deserve it? Just like America hates Angel Reese. Because of her arrogance, I'm the same way. I hate Luka. Because of his
arrogance.
What did
he do? What did he do wrong?
What did Angel Reese do wrong? She did this, and she was called a thug.
For what reason? I never got it. I never understood it.
So it's a something innate. Just like for them, when Angel Reese is a something innate, is a something that just rubs in the wrong way. Something about Luka that rubs in the wrong way. But I will tell you this: I am warming up to him.
This is what I'm gonna say. This is the reason why I'm a Luka fan, right? Because I watch basketball, right? So I watch people play basketball that rely on their athleticism. You don't develop your game. Mm-hmm. I hate that. I loathe that. Because I'm like, okay, the reason why I respect Ant-Man, you come into the league, you came in as an athlete. Mm-hmm. But you have clearly developed your game. Mm-hmm. I respect that.
Fox, SGA.
And look. Mm-hmm. Excuse my language, but you are a fucking professional. Meaning, you have the whole offseason to develop your game to add something new. That's why I love Kobe. Every year, Kobe came back with something new. As good as he was, mm-hmm. he still added something. Mm-hmm. He realized it's something. Yeah, I'm going to go work with Hakeem on my footwork. Mm-hmm. This fadeaway is going to be nice. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever it is that it takes to be a better player, I'm going to add something. I hate the fact that people are gifted with extreme athleticism and don't develop nothing behind it. I respect Luka because Luka can't jump. He can't run fast. He's fat. He has all these things working against him. So if we were on a pickup basketball court, he would be the last person I picked. Period. Just the eye test.
The eye test, right.
I would be like, no, I don't want him. You know, he's that guy in the corner. White man can't jump. Mm-hmm. All that type of scenarios, mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. But when he steps on the court, he's killing you. He's killing you. He's killing these athletic people. You jump, you got a 44-inch vert. I don't even give a shit.
I'm just going to pump fake
you. I'm going to pump fake you. I'm going to lean into you. I'm going to create some space.
And get an
A1. And I'm going to frustrate the hell out of you because you're going to be like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Dude.
I shouldn't be getting crushed.
I shouldn't be getting killed by this mm-hmm. dude. So that's the reason why I've learned to respect Luka. I've learned to respect Jokic because at the end of the day, these dudes are not the most athletic. They're not Shaq. Jokic's not Shaq. But I'd be damned if you get on the court and you think you're going to be able to deal with this dude.
Let me put a little stuff in perspective. I agree with what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. Now, we do know the NBA made this game a little bit too friendly for the European players.
True.
And now, it's like, whoa, we made it too easy for them.
What happened?
Well, the reason why they made it easy is because them boys couldn't handle it when Cass was really D'ing up.
Right. But I don't think a lot of these players could handle when Cass was really D'ing up.
Well, the reason why is that they have to come in through the ranks of Cats really D'ing up.
Mm-hmm.
But so the NBA, over a decade ago, had to make it easy because these European players are coming in with the same type of skill sets like Luka and Jokic, but weren't able to stay and hang in the league for long periods of time because it was too rough. It was too hard. It was too aggressive. It was too physical for them.
Was it just the Europeans?
Well,
or was it the Americans as well? Because I feel like it's some players that I know could not handle what Jordan went through. That arm bar.
But we're talking about that now. But I'm talking about what the edifice of the change,
right,
of the rule, yeah, uh-huh, was to bring these European players in, to bring more white players in to appease the white masses, fan base.
Yes, of course.
And so what they're realizing is now it's gotten out of control. Scoring has gotten out of control. And now they're talking about legislating more defense.
I agree.
And having these refs not calling the ticky-tacks, allowing people to be a little bit more. And that forearm is coming back.
Come on
So what I'm saying is that I feel you, but shit can get different, especially in the playoffs. So they're talking about that now. That means they're going to actually start implementing it in the playoffs.
Right.
And that could be an impediment to both of those players. I love Luka. I've grown to, or no, I don't love Luka. I appreciate Luka. I love Kyrie.
You gotta respect
this game. Respect Luka now. But I will say is, I don't know if he has that dog in him, because what he does on the offseason does not get better. He goes and kicks it with his brothers and goes and drinks and goes and hangs out. And that's what I don't respect.
I got you.
And I feel that the Clippers have old cats that ain't won anything yet that want to win, and they have an owner that is like, I'll give you anything and everything you want.
He's spending that bread.
Because I got more money than I can spend in my lifetime. Right. So I can sit over and give y'all anything y'all need and want. Just get us these wins.
Win, baby.
Just sit over here and we don't got to win the championship this year. Just get us getting past the first round.
Mm-hmm. First round ain't going to do it, though.
No. Not for the Clippers, but get them deep to go into it next year.
We shall see.
I think that's all they want.
We shall see.
But real quick, before we get up out of here, because, you know, it's so fun. When you're having fun, time flies by.
Absolutely.
Time is flying by.
Talk to me.
Let's assume the Celtics are going to do exactly what we talked about, exactly what we expect them to do.
Mm-hmm.
And Denver, like we've talked about it, and does exactly what we expect them to do. You put those two juggernauts together.
It's tough.
On a court,
it's tough.
Two different courts over the course of seven games, with the Celtics having home court advantage. Who wins that series?
Man, if I'm in Vegas right now and I got to put some money.
You got to put $1,000 on it.
My wife is going to be mad. that's a tough one. That is one of the toughest decisions I'd probably have to make in a long time.
That is a tough decision because you know how good Denver is.
It's not a whole lot. I think if the Celtics didn't add Porzingis, I would roll with Denver automatically.
No, automatic. Automatic. No.
But the fact that you're adding this guy into the mix, I'm not going to say he's as good as, you know, Jokic, but the skill set he brings is similar. It's similar
and
enough.
He can almost blunt Jokic a little bit, just because from a matchup perspective,
right?
He can almost, like, let's say he don't score very much. He can sit over and put all his attention in terms of just defending Jokic.
Absolutely.
And that matchup is like a great matchup for the Celtics.
I agree. I agree with that perspective. The thing that I feel like is probably going to come down to is just the experience factor.
Mm-hmm.
So then you start to look at individually what these players have been through. So we know it didn't. Denver's already been there, done that. They've won it.
But they've been there and been the bridesmaid, never the bride.
As far as the Clippers?
As far as
Denver?
Yeah. As far as the Celtics.
We're talking about Celtics. Yeah, they've been there. So maybe they might be hungry.
Just hungry and callous.
And then, you know. So you hear these things about, you know, Tatum ascending and this is the one thing that he needs to kind of catapult him over
to the next level.
Yeah, to the next level. So I feel like those factors do. The fact that you are playing for, I'm not even going to say he's playing for a contract, but your contract is coming up as well. So these are all factors that are going to play into the decisions that, you know, the upper brass is going to make.
I think he's out.
I think
if you saddle your team with two of the largest contracts in NBA history.
You're going to have the two largest.
Yeah, you can't sustain a team. What you got to do is trade that cat to like a Denver, or trade him to somebody
Who says he moves? Who says he moves? Who says Brown doesn't move?
You know, because Brown can't go to the left. So actually the smart thing is to move Brown.
I would. Yeah. If it came push kind of shove, I'm moving Brown.
But the problem is like, who wants to pay all that money for Brown? Yeah.
So that's the always
Clippers, problem. And the Celtics are signed up for it. So,
exactly.
You know,
exactly.
So, you know, they're going to sit over and say, who do you want? And this cat costs this.
Mm-hmm.
This cat costs this.
Right.
But I don't think they can keep this nuclear. I think this is the year they got to do
it. You
got to
win it. You got
to
win it.
And so with all of that put together, I'm going to go with the Celtics.
Just off of the position that they put themselves in as far as the desperation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'm probably going to roll with Denver. Only because I look at the sum of the pieces. I trust their pieces a little more. Mm. I trust a Caldwell Pope. and they, you know, Jamal Murray. When I'm looking at the starting, when you break it down like this,
yeah, like,
the strength of the individual pieces bringing it together, I believe in them a little more, as well as the coach, because you've been here, done that. Celtics have a young coach who just got put. You inherited a team.
He inherited
that you really team, didn't deserve.
You fell into it. You didn't earn it.
Right. It's like a girl that, you know, you kind of fell into it. You didn't really talk to her. You just happened to, you know, piggyback being a co-pilot. And you fell into a situation that worked for you. I'm not really rolling. I don't know what type of adjustments you know how to make.
Right.
Last year, you really didn't impress me as far as being able to make adjustments on the fly.
No, he definitely didn't impress anybody last year. Right?
He didn't. I feel like his booty hole tightened up more than anybody.
Also, what happens when you go through that fire one time? You done lived it. You done tricked it.
True.
And you don't tend to make. You don't bump your head twice.
But he's young, and I'm more prone to roll with the veteran people. And I feel like Denver still has a better mix of young and old. I think at the end of the day, the pieces just fit together better. I feel like there is not a conflict of interest as far as the two stars on the team. I think they both understand their roles. I think Brown and Tatum, as far as who's going to take that last shot, I think there's still a conflict right now going on. I think they still have those issues. I don't think Denver has that at all. I think they are not leaning on anybody.
It's hard to go 82 games. And that hasn't reared its ugly head. To say it's going to rear its ugly head now, I think people have gotten into their position.
But it's playoffs. That's when things, like you said, it started off here, and then it gets.
What's funny is that we will have the playoffs and the battles and the series to sit over here and evaluate. Look at. Far closer, put a magnifying glass,
that microscope
to really sit over here and see where we're at as we go to that championship. But I appreciate it. You're on Denver. I think this is a Celtics year.
We shall
and
see.
I look forward to seeing Celtics. Yes, with that being said, it was a great show.
Absolutely.
Glad to be back.
I appreciate it.
And ladies and gentlemen, hey. ATB Media Network, you got to sit over here and love the game.
Yes, sir.
You got to sit over here and love us. I need you to do us a favor again. Like, download, and subscribe.
Please catch us
on YouTube. Catch us on all the podcast platforms and on IG. Love y'all.
See y'all next week.
We are back, baby.
Yes, sir. Cheers to you, my brother.
Yes. That's what happens when you be on one.
Yes, sir.